We're spending this month talking about the characters that the kids learned at VBS. And so last week was Daniel. And we talked about what it's like when people kind of play games with us, political games, especially at work or in our family, and we end up seemingly paying the price for it. But Daniel was just ordinary, like us, but had an extraordinary God and had a really extraordinary experience with lions and God. And he's not the only one. Today, we're going to be in a book in the Old Testament where God is so extraordinary, he's not even mentioned. Not one time. Not one time in the book of Esther in the Old Testament is God ever mentioned. But as people are, we can kind of relate to that, I think. Esther is a book that we can connect to because we're not used to experiencing God in like a visual sense where, ooh, there he is, poof, right? We are his people and we have to represent him. And that's kind of the book of Esther. Have you ever found your life difficult, turned completely upside down, not what you wanted it to be? Have you found your life turned out like that just because you're smoking hot? Have you ever had that problem? Besides Drake and I? Anybody? That was Esther. Esther was smoking hot and she wakes up one day and suddenly she's married to the king just because she's good looking. And the king had already exiled his wife. That's a great story. And because she was good looking, she literally gets taken from her home and from her people and is put into the king's court. That's human trafficking 101. That's as contemporary today as anything. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the YW, there's going to be a presentation on human trafficking, and my guess is not a lot of people will show. It's not something we like to talk about. It's not something that we tend to think of in our general day, and yet in the state of Ohio, we are fourth in the nation for human trafficking because we have all these interstates that connect to everything. North, east, south, and west, you can get there from Ohio. And Ohio, we beat New York. Woo! So I'm going to go tomorrow night. And I challenge you guys to go as well because I think as a church, we've got to face this. And we've got to find these men and women that are literally just being convinced to be taken from their home and having their lives turned upside down. We're going to do something. I will not be silent about this. Just not going to. Will not be silent about it. I want you to join me with it. What power do we have when we're in a spot that we never asked for? This is not the life that we wanted. And then someone godly, someone that we trust, someone that has experience, someone who really connects with God comes to us and says, you got to speak up. You got to take a stand. You got to put a Ten Commandments sign in your yard. You got to take a stand. And you've got to speak up. What do we do in that moment? Because listen, we live in a time where everybody loves to yell, I'm taking a stand, and nothing's getting solved. What can we learn from Esther that's going to allow us to leave here today and make an impact in an upside down world, in a world where God is not mentioned at all, and if he is, it's derogatory? How do we take a stand the same way that Esther did? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Esther. Esther's in the Old Testament, which is the front part of your Bible, or I encourage you to tap that app. Don't be afraid to download a Bible app on your phone or tablet and use it. I think more people are literally using Scripture now because of it. I encourage it. So, the thing that I want you to see in Esther chapter 4, there's two key things that I want you to see that I think we can learn to be able to take a stand in today's world. All right? And I want to begin in verse 12. Because timing is everything, isn't it? Timing is everything, because I think right now we're living in a world where all people do is yell 24/7. They don't wait for the right time to speak or to take a stand. So here's what I want you to see. By the way, the setup to this is the king has been tricked into a Holocaust. Kill all the Jews. Anybody that's Jewish, kill them all. And the king goes, okay, sure. He was completely tricked, fooled, has no idea that his wife is Jewish. Zero idea. And Esther's afraid to speak up about it. And so she's got a relative that talks about timing. Verse 12, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, that's her relative, this guy is under a death sentence as well. He sent back this answer: do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. You know what? I don't want to get involved. I just want to keep my mouth shut. I just want to live my life. Verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. You can go ahead and keep your mouth shut, but God is still going to be on the move. But you and your father's family will perish. Famous verse coming up here, and this is the one that hits me in the brain when I'm like, oh, should I say something? And who knows but that you have come to your royal position. There was a purpose behind your pain. There was a reason that you were taken from your home and forced to marry a man that you did not know. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position. And this is my favorite part of this verse. This is the one that hits me. Underline it, highlight it, circle it, remember it. For such a time as this. All right, we already talked about it. Her husband's been fooled into his own personal Holocaust. Esther is too scared to say anything to the king, and she should be. You're not allowed to talk to the king. I'm not allowed. You're not allowed. Esther is not allowed. She will even say, it's been 30 days since I've been in the throne room and said anything to the king. 30 days. My wife would dream of that. My husband's not said a word for 30 days, right? And she knows that if you speak up to the king without him saying something, you die. Even his wife. She is too scared to say anything. You ever been in that spot where you're like, I know I should say something, but you're too scared, right? Because you don't know if you'll know the right words or what if they say this, and you're just scared. Do you have someone like a Mordecai in your life that can give you godly advice? I didn't say advice. There's a lot of that. Godly advice. Especially about timing. All right? Look at verse 13. He uses logic on her. Listen, you think you're going to be safe if you keep your mouth shut. God will save his people, but who says you're going to survive? And sometimes we need other people to think outside of our little narrow vision. Oh, I know this is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. And I know this is going to happen. And we need people that can come along and go, yeah, but what if this happens and this happens and this happens? We need people in our lives that help us out of these emotional tunnels that we get in, that will help us understand logically, wait a minute, maybe we're not as safe as we think we are by keeping our mouth shut. Now, verse 14, he uses godly thinking. You may keep your mouth shut, but God will still be on the move. Churches in America especially have been famous for keeping their mouths shut, and yet God still moves in incredible ways. I want to be a part of that by opening my mouth when I should. Oh, I love that. Such a time as this. We live in a day and age where we yell angrily about everything. Right? We're yelling about everything. Disney named a black actress to play Ariel. Oh! Nike put out Betsy Ross shoes. Rah! What are we accomplishing? There's a lot of yelling going on. What about your social media posts? A lot of yelling going on. Sorry, guys. Do you really think you're influencing anyone? If I today were to go home and post something political, the way that I feel about it, which I'm happy to have those conversations privately, but if I were to go and do that, I automatically am shutting out an entire segment of people that still need Jesus. What am I trying to prove? That I want Jesus to be king of America? Man, we love yelling. I need someone in my life that will come and go, okay, big mouth, timing is everything. Because I want to respond instantly. There are times when I want to just hop on Facebook and go, oh, Betsy Ross shoes, right? And if you notice, I didn't do a thing. I wanted to, but I didn't. I'm not sure that's where I needed to speak up. I need someone in my life that will help me with the timing of things. Or do you really want to hit send? So we've got to become people that do things together. That's the next part of it. Not only the timing, we need an individual in our life that will help us with the timing. We can't be making these decisions on our own. And in this quick response society, that's all we do. We don't really seek anyone else's opinion, advice, whatever. So, here we go. We need to do things together. Verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Verse 16. Go gather, there's the word, together. Being a Christian is not being the Lone Ranger. Together, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Does everybody know what fasting is? That's where they're going to not eat for a period of time so that when they get the rumblies in their tumblies, that reminds them, hey, God will sustain me. God will provide for me. It's a way to draw closer to God. And for me, it's a way to hear him clearer. Does that make sense? Because I'm giving up something that I think I need to survive. And I'm telling him, you fill that spot. And so she's saying, I want people to be praying for me. What were we laughing about in my, well, there was one thing we were laughing about in my Sunday school class. What do we absolutely hate when it comes to prayers? Unspoken prayer request. Stop that. That's goofy. Well, God knows. That's not being together. If you tell me you've got an unspoken prayer request, you need to know there's a part of me that goes click, because this is personal, loving God and loving each other. I need to know how to pray for someone. You know me, I am notorious for texting somebody and going, hey, I was just thinking about you today and praying for you. That's it. I don't expect people to respond. I just want them to know that. And sometimes I get a story back. I always respond the same way. Well, now I know how to pray for you. We need to be praying for one another. If we're going to take a stand on something, we need to begin to bounce things off of each other and go, is this a good way to respond? Is this a good way to speak up? Do you have a group of people that is praying for you? Set a time limit on it. 3 days, she said. 3 days. That's not bad. Man, I'd be hungry. She and her attendants are going to pray. They're going to pray together. Why? Speaking of social media, I stole a picture that I saw today that said one of the biggest challenges that we face in our churches today is that they're full of people that think that God thinks the same way they do. And I can tell. I think America's full of that. Well, God thinks the same way that we do. Right? No. We need to think the same way that God does. And when I've got people praying with me, asking me or God to reveal to me what he wants me to do and the stand that he wants me to take and how I go about it, wow. That is not me going, hey, God, you know what I really want here? Make it happen. I love that. I love that. Do you have a team that prays with you? You've heard Proverbs 3, verse 5, right? Yeah, you have. You just don't realize that you have. Take a look at it sometime. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the next part? Don't you dare trust your own understanding. Don't you dare. Right? That's dangerous for me. I've been preaching for over 2 decades. I got all this figured out. No, I do not. Right? Are there people praying for you and praying with you? Especially ones that will tell you, don't get sent. She knows what the outcome is going to be. She literally says, then I will go. She already knows. She's been fighting it, right? Oh, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and it'll be okay. She already knows. You pray for me. My attendants will pray with me for 3 days. Then I will go. Oh, that's intimidating, isn't it? When do we speak up? What do we say? And it is so easy to escape all of that just by hopping on Twitter. Jesus considered the consequence. Just like Esther. Esther is going to go to the king expecting that he'll give her a hug. Hey, I'm glad you spoke up. Glad you said something, even though it's against the law and I should cut your head off. Is she expecting that? Oh, no. Especially not if he's hungry and tired. Am I right, ladies? Right? Just, rah. She goes expecting to die, but she's going to speak up. Whatever the consequences come, and that's what we don't like about what we want to say. Well, I've got the freedom to say whatever I want. You have the freedom to accept the consequences of whatever you say. And when I speak, I represent you, I represent God, I represent this church. When you speak about things, you represent me, you represent this church, you represent God. And you may have to come to me and go, mm-mm. And I may have to come to you and go, shouldn't have hit send. Right? Consequences. Jesus had to consider the consequence of speaking up, of taking a stand for what God truly wanted things to be versus what we had turned it into. And he sits in the garden, he goes, yeah, I'm good, thanks. Really don't want to do this. I do not want to go to the cross. By the way, did you remember that he had a group of guys that were supposed to be praying for him? Remember what they were doing? He's following the same thing. And he says, God, I really do not want to do this. Do we think that God thinks the way that we do? Or through prayer, do we realize we need to think the way that he does? Because then he says, I don't want to do this, but you know what? It's not about me. It's about what you want. And so he did go to the cross. And so that's what we're going to do with communion here in a second. We're going to recognize that consequence of the decision he made, just like Esther, to go before the king, regardless of the consequence. By the way, Esther was fine. Jesus wasn't. Esther didn't die. Jesus did. But we're fine because he sacrificed himself. So let's pray for our communion time this morning. And as we take the bread and the juice that represent his broken body and his shed blood, let's be thankful that he was willing to suffer the consequence, just like Esther, and that he saved us. Father, we love you and we thank you for your saving grace. I don't always know the right time when to stand up and speak and take a stand. Too often I just get emotional because, and I may say the right thing the wrong way. I don't know. God, we thank you this morning for the sacrifice of your son, who is willing to stand before the king and say, whatever the consequence is, I'm taking a stand for righteousness. I'm taking a stand for grace. I'm taking a stand for God. And because he took a stand, I can stand before you as being forgiven. We recognize that sacrifice this morning, God. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand up as we finish singing this song. there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
In that song. All right, Olivia, come on up here. Olivia, were you in the spelling bee this year? Spell Okinawa. All right, so you're going to Japan.
Yep.
Are you coming back?
I hope
so. Wait, what? You hope not. What are you doing in Japan?
I'm going to the sister city.
Oh, going to the sister city, representing Van Wert. So you're representing these people here. Good luck with that, right? Jamie, come on up here with her. All right, church family, come on up and gather around. Let's pray for Olivia with her trip. Hey, we're getting good at getting rid of people. Step up here, kiddo, all the way up front. Hey,
you're not alone in that, Roger.
All right, obviously you don't have to come up if you don't want to. This is just something we do as a church family. That's right. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and I thank you for Olivia. Olivia, I have known her literally since the day she was born. Got to hold her in the hospital, and the joy that she brought her mom and her dad was incredible. And so obviously we think of Stuart this morning, and thank you for his continued influence, the legacy that is being lived out. And I pray for Olivia that when she heads overseas, this is going to be something she's looked forward to so long and is so excited about. And I know her, it's going to be even better than she expected. I'm looking forward to pictures and stories, but I pray that you go with her on the trip, that she never feel alone. And I pray for her mom, that you uplift her emotionally and spiritually, and that we as a church would gather around the family while she's gone and just encourage everyone to look forward to that great report when Olivia makes it back home and tells us how she experienced you over in Japan. So, Father, we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey,